Well, let's get this week started. Alabama hosting LSU this weekend, nationally televised game. Of course, most of them are anyway. But big time kickoff at 6:45. We'll be there. We'll be watching. Everybody will be, because it's just such a huge game. And this is one of those games. It's cut and clear. It's the best defense perhaps in the SEC. I think so. Against the best offense, which I don't think there's any question about that. So it's going to be something that we can really get into and hype up all week. But first, let's just say, hello, Lars.
How are you doing today, Matt? How was your weekend?
I had a fantastic weekend because I had most of it off. I worked Friday night, and then I just kind of lounged the rest of the weekend. Did you ever make it to Nebraska?
Oh, my goodness. I had one travel experience in my life that was utterly horrible. Left from Heathrow Airport to JFK, and I got food poisoning on the plane. It was horrible. I ate lamb the night before. But what transpired on Friday was a close second. Being on the tarmac for about 6 hours in Birmingham. Oh. And we went back to the gate once. Had the opportunity to get off, decided to roll the dice. So that stopped the clock. There's a FAA rule that you can only be on the tarmac for 3 hours before the pilot has to go back to the gate. And so we're on, 3 hours and then almost another 3 hours take off, get to DFW. Everything is absolutely shut down. No hotel rooms. It was a vision of hell, as far as I'm concerned.
What time did you finally get to Dallas?
I made it to Dallas about 1:30, I think, in the morning. And then I was automatically rebooked on a 7 a.m. flight the next morning, 5.5 hours later. So just gutted it out. Hung out with some people in the airport. All the lounges were closed. It was quite a scene. You know,
there's Jim Rummy on the dirty floor.
Yeah, something like that. But
By the way, we are killing time waiting on Nick Saban's news conference, so we're not
going to
talk about your travel exploits.
Speaking of which, here comes Coach Nick Saban.
Let's go.
So I know that, bye weeks at this time in the season can be very beneficial. And I think in a lot of ways to our team, it was very beneficial. I think we got lots of guys that were banged up a little bit, some rest and limited reps so that they could heal up. And, of course, we won't know how well that happens until we see how they respond this week. And we got a lot of good repetitions on future opponents as well as LSU, in the bye week. So that should enhance, our preparation, for this game. So, as I told the players when they left Thursday after practice, I wanted them to enjoy their time off, but I also wanted them to be focused and ready to go and all in when we get back because, LSU is really, really good team. They're probably one of the best teams in the country right now. I know they are the best team in the country on offense. We're going to need an excellent attention to detail, focus, good technical preparation in the game so that, everybody plays responsibility football, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams. I think this has developed into sort of a, rivalry game because they're always ranked, we're always ranked. It's always a big game relative to, what happens in our division. So it's an important game for, both teams. I think Brian Kelly has done a phenomenal job, bringing this team along. The improvement that they made, the kind of team they had a year ago, as well as, even a better team that they have, this year. In terms of what they've been able to accomplish and what they've been able to do. And I think it starts with their offense. They're the number one offensive team in the country. It starts with the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. I mean, this guy's a phenomenal player. He's a dual threat player. He's a great passer. He's makes lots of plays with his feet. He's fast. Not only can scramble to run, but can scramble to throw. You know, they've got a really good running back in Logan Diggs. They got a good tight end in Mason Taylor. You know, Neighbors and Brian Thomas are really, really good receivers, but they have also other good skill guys to go with them. Their offensive line is big and physical, and they're able to create great balance on offense. So it's going to be very challenging for us to be able to, you know, play the kind of disciplined football that you need to be able to play and not make mistakes, tackle well in the game and be physical and try to win on the line of scrimmage, which is going to be challenging. Defensively, you know, they are good players. They're a good front seven. They're big. They're physical. And, you know, they play well together, you know, as a team. I think that, you know, sometimes they've had some struggles in the secondary, some guys injured and different things like that. But they also make a lot of big plays. They can rush. They affect the quarterback. And they can cover. So this is going to be a challenge game for us from that standpoint, too. And these guys have a lot of good athletes and a lot of really good team speed, so that makes them really good on special teams. They have good specialists. So this is a really, really good team all the way around.
Start up front here with Nick.
Yeah, you talked about Jaden Daniels. You saw him a year ago. What are the biggest differences you see in his game or improvements you see in his game from a year ago, if any?
Well, he killed us last year, so, I mean, guys was a really, really good player last year. He's a really, really good player now. I think, you know, overall, you know, they execute their offenses, you know, to perfection. And it starts with him because he makes the right reads relative to runs and passes and, you know, zone option plays and pass down plays. He's very good at reading coverages, makes really quick decisions. All those things were evident last year, I think, by the way he played. And I think he's probably even better, you know, now because he has even more experience and knowledge in the offense. And they've got really good players around him.
Yeah, and Daniels, again, I think he had 95 rushing yards last year. You know, and a lot of it looks like came on quarterback draws. How much emphasis is on that this year?
Well, actually, you know, he made a couple plays on quarterback draws, but some of them weren't designed quarterback draws. You know, two of his long runs in the game in critical situations, you know, came on bust up front in terms of gap control, and he just saw it and took off running. So it looked like a quarterback draw, but I don't really think it was a designed quarterback draw. They do have designed quarterback draws. You know, it was a zone option play that he scored on us in overtime, 25-yard run. Another mistake that we made in run support and adjusting the motion. So those are the kind of things that you cannot afford to make those kind of mistakes, all right, when you're playing against a quarterback like this who basically, you know, is a great passer, but also have triple option type plays in their running game to get him on the perimeter. And so athletic, you got to have the right guys trying to get him on the ground.
Go to Charlie.
Yeah, hey, Coach. With Kendrick Law, what kind of progress have you seen from him, and what kind of versatility does he bring to this offense?
You know, K-Law is really a great competitor, really tough, physical guy. He is a little different than some of our other receivers, so he does have, you know, a role to play and does a really good job of that. He's a great special teams player, really good team guy, hard worker. And I think, you know, we'll try to always have roles for him to play in the game that benefit his skill set and complement the other guys that we have in the game.
The middle with Matt.
What has adding Logan Diggs done for their offense this season?
Yeah, well, this guy is a really good back. He's big, strong, powerful, really powerful lower body. You know, breaks tackles, good one cut runner, can make you miss. But this guy makes a tremendous amount of yards after contact, and he is physical.
Go up front to Chase.
when you go up against a really mobile quarterback like Daniels, you often talk about the importance of pass rushers being disciplined and staying in rush lanes. Is there a difficult balance to draw there between doing that but also making sure guys are playing aggressive?
Well, I think we want our guys to play aggressive. You know, I don't think you want guys to get pushed by the pocket. I don't think you want guys to lose contain on the guy. So, you know, there's a fine line between, you know, that. I mean, if you get pushed by the pocket, we're playing with 10 guys now. If you lose contain and he gets outside, you put everybody in harm's way that's trying to, you know, sort of plaster their coverage and stay with the guys they got to guard. Plus, he can take off running. So, I guess there's a fine line between that. We've never, ever told guys to rush in their pass lanes, but be cautious. Never, ever even thought of that. So we're not coaching that.
Good, Ryan. Coach, clearly it's a big game on Saturday, big day on Saturday, but tomorrow's a big day as well, your birthday. Do you want anything for your birthday? What are you doing? Anything different? You're just locked into the game.
No, I mean, it's game's the most important thing. That would be an outstanding birthday present if we could play well in this game. And so that's what I'm focused on, and that's what, you know, we're really, you know, trying to do. You know, when your birthday and holidays come up in football season, they're really not holidays and they're really not birthdays. You get older, but you don't really celebrate much.
We'll go to Tony on the far left.
I've got kind of two. What have you seen from your own coverage unit? And then what are the challenges of facing LSU's deep passing game, and how do you guys think you combat for that?
Well, I think there's lots of challenges. You know, you got to read, run, pass, and they got a good play-action game. They'll seven-man protect and throw vertical routes. They've probably made more explosive plays running and passing than, you know, any team we've played in recent times. So, you know, you got to guard them. You got to keep them cut off. And you got to be disciplined in your eye control so that you have the best opportunity to do that. You know, play zone, play man, play pattern match sometimes. Try to mix it up. And, you know, I mean, that's the key to the drill. If you let guys get behind you, you don't get people cut off, you're probably going to give up big plays because they got a good thrower. And guys that can go up and get the ball.
Go to Rodak here in the middle.
So what did you see out of Caden Proctor against Tennessee, and where does that competition stand at left tackle?
Yeah, well, you know, Caden Proctor's getting better, and I think he's learning from, you know, and gaining experience and learning. What we want him to do is, you know, not worry so much about making a mistake that he's not playing aggressively, and that's what we've been working on with him. And, you know, I think he's getting better and he's getting more confident. And I thought he played, you know, fairly well. He had a play or two that I'm sure he'd tell you and I'd tell you and his coach would tell you that, you know, we didn't execute exactly correctly. But those plays are getting fewer and fewer, and the good plays are getting greater and greater.
Two more. Start with Kate.
You talked about this a little bit in your opening, but what is it about this game and these two programs that's created such good matchups really since you've been here at Alabama?
Well, because, you know, they have really good players. They're very competitive. They've always been well coached. You know, and this game has always had significance in a consequence of your season. So the first thing you got to do is win your division. And that's what we're really trying to focus on. And you got to get yourself ready to take care of business against really, really good players to be able to do that. So, that's why I think both these teams have been ranked since 2007 or something, you know, in the top 20. So, and I don't know how many of the games we played with them in the last however many 15 years or whatever that don't have some consequence to what kind of season you have.
We'll finish up right back.
Coach, have your early birthday. You've seen many bye weeks and the results of them on the following Saturday. What is a marker to you of productive time off leading up to the game?
Well, I think that, you know, you want your players, as I alluded to before, to enjoy their time off. But you also want them to be focused and ready to go when they come back. So there's a balance in all that. You know, you can't dissipate and go not eat right and do the right things while you're off, you can still enjoy yourself, but you also can stay focused on what you need to do when you come back. And I think that's combination and balance and all that. You know, balance in life is important in about everything that you do. So that kind of balance can create very positive results for you when you come back and you're ready to go. If you didn't think about your job, what your responsibility is, 1 minute for 3 days, you're probably not going to benefit very much from the time you had off.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
All right. Thank you.
There you have Nick Saban at the podium at the Mal Moore Football Facility at the Capstone University of Alabama. Pretty much status quo. I mean, it's not, he didn't get real, real jacked up or real, real low from week to week. And he was pretty much on point, and Lars and I will discuss what he discussed, what he talked about, what he was quizzed. And then also, there are so many stories to get to. How about them Auburn Tigers slapping the Bulldogs around? Final was 27-13. Did that turn the corner for Freeze and Company? Maybe a little early for that, but it certainly helps. You're listening to Big Noon Sports, presented by Haley Sansing Union Home Mortgage.
The game. 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather. Mostly cloudy, breezy, and much colder today. Temperatures falling into the 50s this afternoon. The chance of some scattered light rain. Mostly cloudy tonight, the low 44. Tomorrow, gradual clearing and very cool, the high at 56 degrees. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 60 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best sports talk in Alabama. This is Big Noon Sports.
Indeed it is. Jeff Spiegel will be joining us in about 30 minutes from ABC 3340. If he was not in attendance personally with the Nick Saban news conference, he was certainly dialed into it, so we'll get his reaction. Your reaction, Lars? I think it was pretty atypical for a week, even though this is just a huge game for Alabama. You lose and you're out of everything. You win, you're in.
Yeah, I thought it was very businesslike, and you can tell that the intensity level is being ratcheted up, even though it's just Monday. I think Nick Saban and the entire team and the entire fan base are well aware of what's at stake on Saturday at Bryant-Denny. And I think first and foremost on the coaching staff's mind is you got to contain Jaden Daniels. He's leading an offense, as Coach Saban noted, that it leads the SEC leads the country in averaging 553 yards per game. And the thing is, Jaden Daniels has accounted for 70% of that, passing for an average of 321 and rushing for about 65 per game. And so containing him is objective number one, two, and three for an Alabama defense. And now you go back and you'll look at how Alabama has performed since the loss to Texas. Alabama's defense hasn't allowed more than two touchdowns since facing the Longhorns. That was six games ago. And during that stretch, they faced some pretty good offenses in Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Tennessee. And so Jaden Daniels, you know, if Jaden Daniels comes out and has a big game, guess who's going to catapult to the top of the Heisman Trophy list, Heisman Trophy running? It'll be Jaden Daniels, because other than his not so great performance against Florida State when he threw an interception, but he's only thrown three for the entire year. He had his lowest completion percentage rate against the Noles, and it was still 59.5. But look, Alabama's defense, I would argue, is better than Florida State's. They got a better D-line. They got better linebackers, and the DBs are maybe a push. And it's going to be, again, in Bryant-Denny. And, you know, in talking to students and Matt, when we were at Innisfree on Friday, we talked to so many people just about the impact that the crowd had against Tennessee. I think it's going to be a similar situation. And I wouldn't be surprised if Nick Saban at some point, probably later on in the week, makes another plea to the Alabama fans. Like, hey, we need you. We need you to be a disruptive force. We need you to be a factor on Saturday.
And I think they'll respond because they certainly did for the game against the University of Tennessee. And this one means even more. There's payback, again, like there was against Tennessee. Alabama's at home. That's huge. It's a night game. I think you might even get a little twist of Death Valley at Bryant-Denny Stadium. I think the fans are going to be that jacked up. You give them a chance to tailgate another 4 hours, see what happens. So I think that, and I totally agree, sometime this week he will hint at crowd involvement. But when it all comes down, you know, who normally wins when you have two very powerful, you have a powerful offense, you have a powerful defense? Who usually wins those games?
The defense.
Yep.
The defense usually does, especially when you're at home, because the crowd can really play a big role in this because, you know, normally the offensive line will have a little bit of advantage because they know the snap count. But they're going to have to go with the silent count. And so, you know, the defensive line can get off at about the same time as the offensive line. So that could translate into a big game for Mr. Dallas Turner. I think he could be a real, disruptive force. And, you know, another big storyline. I mean, this is not rocket science here. It's the two quarterbacks. Jalen Milroe, right? Now, can he, you know, hit those 10-yard outs, right? Can he be as accurate in the intermediate game as he is in the deep game? LSU's secondary, they're not that good.
Which is unusual considering how many cornerbacks and safeties there have been in the NFL from LSU over the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, look, they had questions there in the secondary before the season started. And then Brian Kelly brings in four corner transfers, and they've lost all four, right? And so LSU is they're moving a safety to corner. And they're playing two true freshmen back there. So they can be had. And so I think, you know, Jermaine Burton, got to have a big game. Isaiah Bond, got to have a big game. And Tommy Reese, I think, again, working with Nick Saban this week, how do they want to go about attacking this secondary? Because that is the weak point for them. Sometimes this year it's been difficult, but look, Jalen Milroe, he's had his moments, against Ole Miss, 17 for 21, 81% completion percentage. But then against Arkansas, 10 for 21, 47.6. You gotta get consistency. And then, this goes without saying, gotta take care of the football if you're Jalen Milroe. Right. And, Milroe has thrown, five picks, this season, and Alabama's turned the ball over, eight times. That's one a game. And, the Alabama defense, they've done a good job. They have 10 takeaways over eight games. So in a contest like this, where on paper the two teams appear pretty evenly matched, and I think everybody's given Alabama a slight edge, it's the turnover battle is going to mean a lot, and also the running game, and we'll get into all of that. But this is a really intriguing matchup. I think it's by far and away the the most compelling game of the weekend in all of college football. It is essentially a national title elimination game. And I suspect Alabama's going to play really well. I really do.
6:45 kick on CBS. Game Day will be in attendance as well. So it is going to be a huge weekend in Tuscaloosa. And Lars and I'll be there dancing around all of it, including Friday back at Innisfree. Friday place to be. Please join Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama broker, myself, and Lars Anderson later this week. That'll be on Friday. Another observation and something I really, really want to point out that I think is very significant with Alabama this year. We'll get to that and more as you listen to Big Noon Sports.
It's back. Laura Lee Thompson is known as the Bama broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama broker, who's as roll-tied as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
It is on the Monday preceding Halloween, where tomorrow night, Lars, I'm sure you're excited about this, as I know you'll be going hand in hand with your children door to door with pillowcases in hand. It's going to get down to 31 tomorrow night. How about that? That's going to cut on the, that's going to cut back on the trick or treating just a little bit, but, anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there because weather is really going to take a dive. All right. What I wanted to mention that we have talked about is the progress of Alabama's defensive line. We knew the secondary was bad. We knew about Braswell and Dallas Turner and Campbell and these guys that have been playing. But the front defensive line has been a little questioned, maybe more so than any other group on defense. Let me put it that way. They have increasingly, week to week, Lars, have gotten better and better and better. And I don't think it's any secret, because I've talked to some people that have had the pleasure of going to a few practices, and they said the reason, Freddie Roach, former Alabama safety turned defensive line coach, they said he's the reason why Keenan and Smith and Payne are all getting a whole lot better. So I just wanted to, you know, salute the guy because he's just been doing a really, really good job at a tough position to mature players.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it comes down to technique so often and just will. I mean, these are the big boys on your team, right? And these are the ones that if you can generate pressure with four, right? Or if you can just sort of control the middle of the line. I use when I talk about this with other people, you know, I'm a big chess player. And one of the first things you learn when you are starting to play chess is that it is usually very important to control the middle four spaces on the board. And if you do that, you usually are going to be in control of the entire chess match, because you are going to have your opponent on the defensive, on their heels. And I really think that that analogy works for football too. And, you know, we've talked about how Nick Saban's very first scholarship offer when he got to Alabama was to Josh Chapman, who's also now on staff and does a great job. And Chapman, he had committed to Auburn. He was a terrific nose tackle slash defensive tackle out of Hoover. And when Nick sat down with him in his office, and it was Josh who recounted the story to me, he was just saying, hey, everything starts with you right in the middle. You control, you're not making a tackle necessarily, but you control everything at the point of attack. And you allow other guys to come in and make the play. Like, everything in our defense starts right in the middle up front. And you can see that this year. And, if you have talent on the defensive line, it just covers up so many other flaws. And I'm not saying Alabama has many flaws, but, the best cornerback in the country, he can't cover a guy for more than 3 seconds, right? Or 3.5 or whatever it is, right? Even Marlon Humphrey, when he was here at Alabama, if you give a quarterback time, the quarterback and the receiver are going to beat, at this level, the SEC level, you're going to beat the best corner. But what's the cornerback's best friend? A pass rush. And it starts with those guys right in the middle. And I'm with you. Freddie Roach, I think probably, he would be like my assistant coach of the year, if we gave that award to the Alabama staff.
I agree 100%. And they do have such an award. I believe it's named after Frank Broyles, but he'd get my vote for Darnold.
Oh yeah, I mean that's a national award, but I'm just saying
for Alabama. Yeah, but I think he'll get consideration nationally too. But anyway, before we go to break here, and we bring on Jess Spiegel to talk more about Alabama and Auburn and all, just tell me real quick, what was it like when Nebraska pounded the Boilermakers 31-14? You were live.
I was there. And it was like I was a kid again. My dad and I, we always would get there a little early. And by the way, it was so freaking cold. I mean, my friends were just making fun of me, because to them it's no big deal. But the windshield was 15. And to me, that's cold. That's really cold. I used to be able to handle it when I was actually living in Nebraska, but It was a gray day. It was cold. It was just like, you know, typical Midwestern football weather. And my dad and I always get there early, and we would walk in with the band. And it just so happened I was with my friends, and we were able to walk with the band. And it was so much fun. And Nebraska has gone undefeated in October for the first time since 2001.
Yikes.
That is staggering. But now you look at the schedule, Nebraska has a great shot of winning their division and playing either Ohio State or Michigan in the Big Ten championship game.
They got Michigan State, which is a very winnable game.
That would get them
bowl eligible. Maryland could be tough. Maryland, Wisconsin and Iowa are going to be tough.
Maryland has struggled recently. And then Wisconsin has not been the same since their quarterback went out. They played Ohio State pretty good for a while, but Wisconsin is beatable. And Iowa is so bad that Kirk Ferentz just fired his son, who is the offensive coordinator. Iowa has the worst offense in the country. So Nebraska, believe it or not, has a chance to make it to the Big Ten championship game. And people are starting to believe in Matt Rhule. They really are here.
I think they should. They really should.
So it was
fun. How close they were to beating Colorado and beating especially Minnesota. But
Jeff Sims, who was the quarterback at that time, he gifted both those games away. And the guy, because he fumbles the ball like every other play. He comes in, I think he was in for one play on Saturday. Fumble, scoop, score.
No way, I didn't see that part.
Jeff Sims, I love you, buddy, but you're not playing anymore.
Oh, man. That's, my dream bowl. My dream bowl matchup is for Nebraska to just get above the bowl eligible and play Auburn and Birmingham. I don't think that's going to happen, but, man, would that be cool? Yes, I'll ask myself.
That would be cool.
Jeff Spiegel joins us on the other side of the break. He will be brought to you by Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker Advantage Realty Group.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, everybody. Coming up Tuesday on the Gary Harris Show at 9 a.m., we're going to visit with the Rocket Man, Rudy Arman, talk some ball with him, and also the Titans report with Kayla Anderson. Titans have a new starting quarterback in Will Levis. We'll discuss it, and, of course, we'll continue to dive headfirst into Alabama and LSU. That's the Gary Harris Show, Tuesday morning at 9.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
If you down to the plains. This is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
And our guest is Jeff Spiegel, ABC 3340. Hey, Jeff, did you have a good weekend? I know you worked. You worked last night for sure and covering games on Saturday. How'd everything go?
I did. I covered the Magic City Classic. I talked to you guys about that last week, and it was a blast, man. It was so much fun. The weather was perfect, just perfect. And the football was, really good. Things got off to a slow start, but there were some really big plays. ASU threw a Hail Mary at the end of the first half. And the really cool thing about it is that, when you cover an Alabama game, I mean, it used to be like – great plays were made by kids who, went to school around here. But nowadays, guys like Kool-Aid McKinstry, the Pinson Valley guy, who's great DB for Alabama. That's kind of the exception to the rule now. But in the Magic City Classic, man, you had a Ramsey kid come up with a Hail Mary catch. You had a Ramsey kid catch a touchdown pass for Alabama A&M. From a Pelham kid, and then you had a Huffman High, a former Huffman Viking, return a blocked field goal for a touchdown for Alabama State. So there were local kids making plays all over the place. And the cool thing about that is that, these kids grew up in the Birmingham area. And so it was all the way around, it was just a really fun day.
Hey, Jeff, sort of big picture thoughts of LSU as we head into LSU week.
Well, I mean, my first impression is that, Alabama got away with falling behind 20-7, to Tennessee a couple of weeks ago. But they can't get behind this team because I just don't think Alabama can win a shootout against these guys. Now, I think Alabama's defense is going to come to play. I mean, I've said before, I think they're playing at a national championship level. And I think if anybody can contain these guys, I think it's, Kevin Steele drawing up some schemes to contain these guys. But really, I mean, no one's been able to do it yet. And Jaden Daniels has, 3,000 total yards? Coming into this game, he's counted for 30 touchdowns. He's only thrown 3 interceptions. So he's handled the ball extremely, extremely well too. So, you know, someone, we were talking about this in the office, and I think someone hit it on the head. Low scoring game, Bama wins. High scoring game, LSU wins. I think it's probably that simple.
That's a great observation, and I agree with it 100%. Our guest is Jeff Spiegel. Jeff, did you have a chance to listen to Nick? I don't know if you were there or not. You probably had a chance to listen to him. If so, your reaction to that 15 minutes of Saban?
Well, I looked at some of the notes, and obviously he gushed, you know, about LSU's playmakers. And I mean, and they've got a ton. I mean, it's one thing if you just have to worry about containing Jaden Daniels. I mean, you know, you could do that. Like a few years ago, you know, LSU came in here with Leonard Fournette, and that got a lot of hype, but they shut him down. And then that was it. They didn't really have anybody else. But this is a case where LSU's got so many playmakers. And Jaden Daniels got so many people he can distribute the ball to. You know, Malik Nabers first and foremost. I mean, just an incredible receiver, you know, there on the outside. So, you know, Nick spent a lot of time, you know, talking about those guys. And, you know, one of the quotes was that, you know, Daniels just killed him last year. And he did. And they've got to do a better job, you know, of containing him this year. And I think they will. Look, you can lay all the blame if you want to on Pete Golding, you know, for that last year. I think their defense is better, you know, this year. I don't know if it's because they don't have Pete Golding. I think it's because they got a lot of good players, you know, and I think they've got enough players to get it done. But I think, you know, the offense is going to have to do its part too. And, you know, LSU's defense is, you know, certainly nothing to brag about. I mean, yeah, they shut out Army 62-0. Yeah, well, big deal. I mean, this is a different story. This is a different game. The offense is going to have to do its part for Alabama, but you know what? I think they will. It's going to be one of those games. It's going to be, I mean, it could go down as one of the best, you know, in the history of the rivalry, and it's going to be tied all the way down to the end. I really feel that.
You know, Jeff, on paper, that LSU secondary sure looks vulnerable. You got a safety switching over to play corner. You got a couple true freshman corners who are going to be playing. Does this feel like it's going to be a Jalen Milroe, type of game where Alabama really needs him to play like he did, say against, Ole Miss and not Arkansas? Would you agree?
Yeah, I really think they do. And I'm encouraged by the way, you know, they ran the ball, you know, in the second half. I like the way they, you know, they put some quarterback runs in there. You know, I love that. And you know, they're going to have to generate, you know, some points offensively, because as much as I believe in this defense, and I mean, I really, really, really do, this is a next level offense, and Alabama's defense could just play incredible in this game and still give up a lot of points to this LSU offense. I mean, it could be one of those things that where Jalen Milroe and his guys, you know, that they got to win a track meet. And that certainly, as we said, plays in LSU's favor. But that doesn't mean, you know, that doesn't mean that LSU's going to win. It just means that Alabama's just going to have to win a, you know, a slugfest and just one of those, you know, Wild West shootouts. And that's what it's kind of playing out to me, that that's going to be the case. And I've said it a million times, you know, that one of these days, Will Reichert is going to be counted on to kick a big, big field goal, you know, at the, like, as the buzzer goes off. Now, he did it at Texas. He kicked a game-winning field goal against Texas. But it wasn't one of those walk-off situations. This could be one of those walk-off situations where he kicks a big field goal and gets lifted up on the shoulders of his teammates and all that stuff. I mean, when I think about this game, I just visualize a bunch of offensive dudes making plays and then Will coming in and you know, sending everybody home happy.
Like Van Kiffin.
Right, exactly.
They don't get much bigger than that kick, I'm telling you.
Well, that was the first, I said this last night. That's the first college football game I ever covered. Was the 85 Iron Bowl. I am not even joking. It was so incredible. I was working for WACT Radio in Tuscaloosa, and I was stringing for, I was working for us, but I was also stringing for AP. And so I was, you know, I rode over there with Tim McGuire, you know, of GGK. And,
yeah, one of my closest friends.
Yeah, and it was, it was so much fun. It was that fourth quarter now in that game was absolutely crazy. I don't want to get us off on a tangent, it could very well be one of those things where, you know, look, Alabama had Cornelius Bennett back then. I mean, Auburn had some pretty good defensive dudes, but the offensive playmakers in that fourth quarter just put on a show. And this could be one of those situations, too, in this football game where that happens.
I remember at the very end, Keith Jackson and Frank Broyles called that game. And after it was over, after the 52-yarder split the uprights, Frank Broyles said in his Arkansas draw, "Keith, that's the finest fourth quarter of football I've ever seen." Meanwhile, Leighton was jumping out of the booth yelling, "It's good, it's good, it's good," over and over. It was just I did not know that was your first game, and I don't mind taking a quick detour to talk about that, but we'll go into depth on that sometime a little bit later. Hey, Jeff, golly, I remember I was running up and down the halls at Channel 13. It was crazy because I was the guy that got to sit at home while everybody else did the reporting, so. But
right,
I do not
right.
complain. I do not complain whatsoever. Blessed to have just done that. I was talking with Lars a little while ago about Freddie Roach, defensive line. I don't think there's a single position on this team that has shown so much improvement and is now considered a real strength along with the other positions on that side of the football. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, I think those guys have been playing great. You know, they've been really dominant, and you know, as we've talked about before, I think from each level, I mean, you go up. I mean, they're deep. I mean, they're experienced, and they just play hard. And you know, this is the defense that, you know, when Kevin Steele got hired. You know, the whole sales pitch was, you know, to sell it was, you know, this guy's going to bring the edge back. He's going to bring the physicality back. You know, he's going to, you know, bring that, you know, get your face mask and get these guys coached up and whipping the other guy on the other side of the line back. And that's what they've got. I think I mentioned it last week when we talked about how that defense saved the day in the first half against Tennessee, because there were situations where they could have given up touchdowns, but the defense bowed up and held Tennessee to field goals. And, you know, the more and more time goes by, the more and more that is going to get overlooked. But we can't overlook how important those two possessions were in the first half.
Very well stated. Jeff, can you hang past the 1
yeah.
o'clock hour? All right.
Absolutely.
I want to get into some stuff maybe away from Alabama. Certainly we'll continue talking about the Tide as well. You're listening to Big Noon Sports, presented by Haley Sansing, Union Home Mortgage.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles. Here's Nick Cope.
News in the NFL. Titans coach Mike Vrabel said quarterback Will Levis will start again on Thursday if Ryan Tannehill is unable to play with his injured ankle. Reports say Giants quarterback Daniel Jones has been cleared for contact and he's on track to return next weekend as they face the Raiders. Reports say Patriots receiver Kendrick Bourne and Falcons offensive tackle Grady Jarrett both tore an ACL yesterday. Free agent running back Leonard Fournette is signing with the Bills practice squad. In the NBA, the Athletic reports Kings guard De'Aaron Fox suffered a moderate right ankle sprain yesterday and will likely miss some time. Pasadena police have launched an investigation after Colorado football players reported jewelry was stolen from their locker room Saturday night at the Rose Bowl. In 24/7 Sports reports, Iowa offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz is not expected to return for the 2024 season.
More Big Noon Sports coming up.
Our guest on this 30th of October is Jeff Spiegel, sports director, longtime member of the Birmingham and Alabama media. It's Jeff Spiegel. Jeff, your kids are old enough where they don't go trick-or-treating. Have you got a quick Halloween memory for us? Because I was never big into Halloween when I was younger, but I became very big into it when I would take my kids.
Yeah, so much fun. I don't have any memories like in particular. But
how about something you dressed up as a kid?
You know, it's so crazy. I was thinking about this during the commercial break because I wondered if you were going to come up with something like this. I can't remember a Halloween costume, but I do remember this. I remember Batman was really big when I was a kid. So I probably dressed up as Batman. I'm just taking a wild guess that maybe I did. Because that premiered in 1966. In fact, a little trivia. Do you remember the TV show called The Munsters?
I do.
Yeah. It was on from 64 to 66 and would have stayed on longer. But Butch Patrick, who played Eddie Munster, said, Batman killed us. You know, Batman premiered and pretty much killed our show.
Oh, really?
So Batman destroyed the Munsters. It was like, I think of those balloons, you know, when Batman and Robin are in that fight and they go, biff, pow, bam. Like one of them punched Eddie Munster and Herman and Lily and Grandpa and all those people in Spot and sent them into cancellation. But I don't remember dressing up like anything in particular, but I probably went as Batman when I was a kid.
Lars, did you dress up like some Star Wars character every year?
No. Seems like I was a football player every year. And, one year I went, gosh, I think I was in sixth grade. I went as a woman. I don't even want to tell you what my dad had me wear, but, yeah.
Deafening silence here on my. First of all, I can't believe you did that. I really can't believe you just admitted it.
Well, I think he made me look more, instead of just like a little girl, he made me look like, you know, a lady of the night, so to speak.
I don't know. That is worse.
I wasn't even aware of that. That was my dad, though. That was his sense of humor, you know.
No one was flipping warped.
My son is going as a zombie pickleball player.
Oh, wow.
He's never played pickleball in his life. I'm like, where did that come from, dude? He's like, I don't know.
That's so cool. Love wow. that.
Creativity. Well, you're not going to do the father-son deal and dress him up like a you-know-what on 4th Street?
Not this year. You know what?
We need to get back to football. I'm glad I brought it up, but I am also going to drop the flag right here. All right. Hey, I want to know, a lot of people are saying that Auburn really turned the corner against Mississippi State. Very convincing opening with two 75-yard drive. They end up beating Mississippi State by a score of 27-13. I put the brakes on it being season turning, although they can win the next three games. Obviously, they're going to get bowl eligible, maybe go to a pretty decent one. Your thoughts, Jeff Spiegel?
Well, I thought in the first half they were great. I thought in the second half, not so great. Now, the company line is that they got conservative, you know, with a lead and all that. And also that probably Mississippi State made some adjustments. But no, in the first half, I mean, they were terrific. I think it was like 268 total yards or something in the first half. And, it was the first SEC game that that Thorne has really shown up in and played well. 20 of 26 for 230. First Auburn quarterback to throw for three touchdowns against an SEC team since Bo Nix in 2020. So that Bo Nix name just keeps coming up time after time after time after time. And I don't know if you guys saw him and the Oregon Ducks like putting a whooping on Utah, but Oregon to me is looking like a team that can win the whole thing. But no, back to Auburn. I think part of it had to do, you know, with the opposition. I don't think Mississippi State is all that good, but, you know, Auburn went out there and executed, and, you know, they got Fairweather involved. They got Javarius Johnson, who's been kind of in and out of the training room a lot this year. He got involved. They threw a touchdown pass to Jeremiah Cobb, that great freshman out of the backfield. You know, Shane Hooks caught a touchdown. So a lot of the receivers were getting involved, and Thorne looked very, very confident in what he was doing. And I'll be honest with you, last week, I was ready to give up on the guy. But Freeze, you know, has kept the faith and put him in there, and he looked good.
Jeff, let's stay with just taking a look at the national picture. You mentioned Oregon. Who should Alabama fans be rooting for? Let's just, for the sake of argument and for fun, let's pretend that Alabama wins out. What needs to happen for Alabama to make sure that they get into that Final Four?
Well, I think Texas has got, you know, a lot of work ahead of them. You know, their quarterback is injured. Ewers is injured. They got to play a backup quarterback against Kansas State, who's a really good football team. So I see Texas losing, you know, I see Texas losing that game. I mean, quite honestly. And then the Pac-12 is going to, you know, figure itself out. There's probably going to be, you know, an Oregon-Washington rematch, somewhere along the way. You know, so it always tends to work out, but the bottom line is, if Alabama takes care of business and wins out and they beat Georgia, I mean, they're not going to need any help. I mean, the SEC champion in that instance, I mean, is going to get in the playoff. I mean, they just are, you know, but, so you could look at it and you could go, well, they need some help with this or need some help with that. But if they went out, they're in. But, you know, 9.5 times out of 10, you know, things happen that really, it'll all take care of itself, you know, down the line. But I don't think Alabama's going to need any help if they went out.
Well, if I could just follow up, just wait for Nebraska will beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game and enable Alabama to get to the playoffs. And so everybody who listens to this show can call in and thank me for supporting the Huskers so much. But Jeff, as of right now, just like right now, who are the top four teams in the country in your mind?
Boy, as much as I hate to admit it, I think Michigan's there. I think Florida State is certainly there. I mean, I love how the Seminoles are playing. I think Oregon's there. I think Oregon's gonna win out. And you know, And it's not so much because, you know, I love what Bo Nix is doing. I love what everybody's doing on that football team. That defense is relentless. I mean, they got some big, physical, fast guys, you know, who will just get after you. So I really like that football team. And then, you know, then I'll put the SEC champion in there. I mean, Georgia looked great. I mean, you could talk about, you know, well, Florida's not the Florida of old. You could talk about that, but certainly Georgia's going to get tested here with Missouri and Ole Miss and Tennessee. But, you know, the SEC champion's going to be there too. But I like the SEC champion, Michigan, the Noles, and also the Ducks.
Who would be your leading candidate right now for the Heisman? And we'll let you go.
Bo Nix. Bo Nix edging out Jaden Daniels. I think Nix and Daniels are the two most consistent quarterbacks that have played this year. And I like Nix to edge out Daniels. And, you know, And, you know, Bo's got to show up every Saturday and get the job done, and I think he will. And if Jaden Daniels beats Alabama, that makes him a clear-cut favorite.
Yes, you are so correct, sir. All right, I'll let you get back to your Batman costume.
Thanks, appreciate y'all.
All right.
Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff Spiegel. They do a great job covering high school football. They do a great job, period. But Friday nights are special with their pre- and post-high school coverage. Then all day Saturday, they're covering games around the state, not just Alabama and Auburn. I thank them for that because that's a lost art in a lot of places, not all. And then Sunday, he does The Zone at 10:35. You should be dialing them all in. So they're wonderful programming from 3340. All right. What a wonderful return to the NFL. That's coming back on Big News Sports.
Hey, if you're thinking